We have you on the phone, Amy Pettit, calling from Juneau. Is that correct?
I'm calling from rainy Juneau this morning. I have a really exciting guest this morning. I'm thrilled that Representative Garen Tarr is going to be joining me.
Oh, wonderful.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we jump into the questions with Garen, I just have a couple of housekeeping things I want to mention first.
Okay.
I want to remind everybody that it is pick, click, give time. And there's just another, what, month, 6 weeks of time to file for your PFD.
Right.
And choose an organization if you're so interested through pick, click, give. And I want to remind folks that Alaska Farmland Trust is an organization that uses your pick, click, give dollars to save the soil. And I also want to tell folks that Radio Free Palmer, who hosts this wonderful radio show, is another organization that I would love to see folks contribute to. So pick, click, give in the next 6 weeks, please remember. Secondly, last night I was reminded that I have been on the air with Ag Matters since before Christmas. So, again, I'm not great at math, but I think it's been 6 or 7 weeks of radio shows now.
That's great.
And I have failed to mention that the name of this show, Ag Matters, was stolen. And I stole it from my friend and colleague, Johanna Heron. So I just want to give her a little bit of credit this morning on the radio.
Okay.
But it was her idea, and I'm thrilled. People love the name, and thank you, Johanna, for that title. So I just had to get that out there, Mike.
Great. Well, thank you for clarifying and giving credit where credit is due.
That's important, isn't it?
So, yes, it is. So, you have a very interesting guest there. Maybe you could tell people a little bit more about her.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to do my brief little introduction like I like to do with my guests because I love to hear straight from them. But I met Garen a number of years ago when I was working at the Division of Agriculture. And, you know, Garen has kind of always been on the scene, very interested in food and agriculture and farmers markets. And since she's been down in Juneau, she's been a real advocate for us. And that's kind of the extent of my perception of Garen, is that she's working hard for our industry. And I want you to tell us a little bit more, Garen. Number one, you know, what area do you represent and how long have you been there? And then let's just jump right in.
Sure. Well, it's so fun to be here. Thank you. And I do love working on agriculture issues. I'm actually a botanist. And when I was in college, got really involved in the farming community where I went to school in Southeast Ohio, a big farming community there. And so just had this wonderful opportunity that I don't think I could have fully appreciated until leaving there, to be really immersed in with people doing great, great work and really interested in some of the work like the Farmland Trust is doing and doing food co-ops and trying to find opportunities for value-added products, managing community gardens. When I moved to Alaska, I met River and Sarah Bean.
Oh, yeah.
That was in 1998. We worked together to form the Alaska Organic Association. And then, you know, the Fed took that over. But then I continued working with them to be a founding board member of the Anchorage Farmers Market. And we were really excited about that because it was the first farmers market where everything was required to be Alaska grown.
Yeah.
And it was really about providing a real retail opportunity for farmers rather than how the Saturday market had kind of transitioned, you know, to be a lot of tourists,
right.
But
yep.
maybe not people who needed to buy a big zucchini.
Right.
And then, you know, have continued to teach gardening classes, teach edible medicinal plants, have so much fun doing that. I teach at the university. And then now in my role here in the legislature, I have tried to find ways that I can be supportive of the agriculture industry.
Absolutely.
I know the state has intervened in a way that hasn't always worked out before.
Right.
And so I really want to learn from those past mistakes and then figure out how do we move forward and make sure we're successful. And you know, one of the things Arthur talks about is the next generation of farmers. And most of the people I know have become farmers when they retired from some other career because it's so hard to get started. And, you know, I would love to have a farm myself. And so I know we need to make these opportunities available for people and with the passion to do it.
Yeah. So remind us where you, what your district is, and then how long have you been in Juneau?
Sure. Thank you. I'm always excited to talk about this. I represent Airport Heights, Russian Jack, and Mountain View. Mountain View is the most diverse neighborhood in the United States. And we have the McPhee Refugee Gardens.
Right.
And then we also have the Russian Jack Community Gardens that are new. And, you know, a lot of interest from folks in my neighborhood. And this is my third term, starting my third term in the legislature.
Wow. It feels like you've been here longer. And you're like, you're in some power positions this year. So congratulations. That's awesome. I really thought you'd been down here longer than 3 years.
Well, 5 years.
Oh, yeah, terms, right.
Three terms, and so 5 years.
Okay, yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. I want to remind any listeners that might be out there this morning that when we're live this morning, Wednesday morning from 7:30 to 8, you can call in with questions. And the phone number to call in is 745-8951. If anyone has a question they'd like to ask Representative Tarr or myself about Farmland Trust, we'd be happy to entertain that. But until that happens, let's just jump right into what is going on this session. And I thought we could focus on, I've kind of been tracking five kind of ag relevant bills, but you sponsored a couple of these. So why don't we start with those?
Sure. I would say the big priority for me is House Bill 46, the Agricultural Products Preference Statute, and it has the raw milk component. And I want to talk about those kind of as two separate things. The first part of the bill has been such an interesting journey. At the recommendation of the Alaska Food Policy Council in 2014, I drafted a bill that would increase the product preference statute from 7% to 12%.
Right.
And if folks aren't familiar with that, what that statute says is that unlike other purchases made by state agencies where there's a requirement that you get the best deal possible, if you're going to buy an Alaska-grown product, you could spend up to 7% more for that product. And it doesn't necessarily mean more spending. It just means among the dollars you spend, you might adjust them a little bit differently, and it gives you that price flexibility to purchase the Alaska-grown product.
So this is specific to state institutions like the corrections and the schools are kind of they have a little bit of wiggle room, right?
Uh-huh.
But state institutions... I'm forgetting.
The Pioneer Homes.
Oh, yeah, the Pioneer Homes.
The prisons.
Yep.
Other.
API.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, the major institutions, juvenile justice.
Yeah.
So it's quite.
It's a lot. It's
you
a
know,
lot of
a
dollars,
lot.
Right? There was
right.
that assumption yes. that there was a lot of institutions out there that should be purchasing Alaska grown because, and even a little bit of background from my perspective, when I was at the Division of Agriculture, we would track the spend. Well, we would track the price points. Specifically to Department of Corrections, and weekly we would get their lists of what they were buying, and I would go through honestly with a spreadsheet and go, okay, potatoes are cheaper this week, okay, carrots are cheaper this week, and then respond back and say and tell them which products were cheaper and which they should be buying. We never heard back a lot what they actually purchased. We kind of would hear from the farmers every once in a while, but so we were thrilled, you know, from the Division of Ag perspective, and I'm also on the Food Policy Council Governing Board, we were so excited that you put that legislation forward because it started the discussion, right?
Right, and what we learned through that was we didn't have enough information to make
right.
a good policy change, and as a result, we requested an audit from the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, and you can find this audit online, or if anyone listening is interested, I'd be happy to email it to them. They went and looked at all of this purchasing done by state institutions and got the prices and then did these comparisons. And what we found through the audit was that 7% was nowhere near enough of a price differential for an Alaska-grown product to be competitive. That was point number one. We also found out that there were a lot of information gaps.
Absolutely.
There should be a vendor list, and if a farmer wants to be placed on that vendor list, then when a request for proposals is sent out, the people looking to respond to that request would see this particular farmer has this product in this quantity during this time period, for what duration. There was really a gap there, and we found out that virtually no one was really on the list. You know,
right.
it wasn't well managed, and I don't have a lot of information sort of how that happened, but we do know that Alaska is a very transient place and people sort of come and go. And so I think sort of along the way, sort of this information was lost. So another piece of working on this and working with Amy Seitz over at the Farm Bureau is trying to actually get interested farmers onto those vendor lists. And in addition, make sure that they say what product and in what quantity and for what length of time. And So that would be the most complete information. So that is the second piece that's been worked on. The third piece that I find very exciting is that the folks that do the request for proposals, the folks that work in procurement for the state, are working to change the language and the requests that go out. So it will specifically state this Alaska Grown product preference and make it known to individuals responding to that request that this option exists if they want to choose that. And we're hoping that by building some of that background infrastructure of just the information and getting the farmers more connected, that in itself provides a new opportunity. And I'm hopeful that this experience has taught the folks working in those programs that keeping in good communication with the farming community and making sure people are up to speed. Right. When we had the gentleman present at the Farm Bureau meeting 2 years ago, I would say maybe a half to two-thirds of the room really wasn't very familiar with the program he was even speaking about. So if you don't even know it exists, how can you possibly take advantage of it?
And I think that ends up happening on both sides. On the procurement side, the procurement officers, the people that are doing the purchasing, they're not necessarily aware of the Alaska Grown availability. They're not thinking about that. They're thinking about the crossing the T's and dotting the I's and make sure they're being good stewards of the state's money. On the farmer side of things, they're just trying to grow their product and sell it and move it, but they're not thinking, I need to respond to that RFP. So on both sides, there was communication breakdown. And I think I always find that it's the more people that are aware of Alaska Grown availability, the more they want to buy it. And it's really an information thing, As soon as people realize that Alaska Grown potatoes and milk are available year-round in the state, they go, oh, well, then I should be buying that. Yeah, yes, you should. Please do.
Right.
So getting back to the bill.
Yes.
Or back to the timeline of it.
We did the audit, found out all this information. We've been doing the background work with improving the RFP process as well as getting farmers onto the list. And then the thinking with this is that if you're a farmer and you're looking for a market to sell the products that you have, it's difficult to get into retail outlets in Alaska.
Yep.
If you go to farmers markets, of course, some days are really good, and then other days it's like the Juno weather we have today, and people don't show up, or it's a July 4th weekend or something like that. So you have some fluctuation and unpredictable returns sometimes. That's why folks like CSA so much. You get your customer base, you have some built-in product, purchasing. And so one of the things I think that could be very exciting about this is if we could create opportunities through the state purchasing for farmers to have their foundation.
Sure.
And so if you can sell, so many heads of lettuce or so much broccoli, so many pounds of cauliflower, whatever it's going to be in a certain way, that gives you the freedom then to, kind of add on to what you're already doing. And so what we wanted to do was, try and pick a more realistic price increase. So now we've bumped it up to 15%.
Okay.
And I think it'll be good to have that conversation about whether that's the right amount, because that falls a little closer to in the middle of what we saw in the audit.
Right.
And I think that the thinking is sometimes if you have the wholesale opportunity, you're willing to reduce the price a little bit.
Absolutely.
The per unit price. So if that wholesale opportunity exists, is that attractive enough?
Right.
Because then you say, whew.
Yeah, I can get rid of a lot of product at once. I might be getting less price per pound or per head, but I'm getting rid of 2,000 pounds at a time because, the Pioneer Home needs to make a lot of meals at once. So,
And then, if you have other market opportunities or CSAs, that builds to your business plan, but it becomes less, unpredictable.
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of thing I think about, because we want, families to be able to farm successfully as a business opportunity rather than a backyard hobby that they do outside of a full-time job.
Right.
And, opening up some of these opportunities to earn an actual living that could support a family.
Yeah.
I hope we can accomplish that with this. So I'm really hopeful about that part of the bill. It's a great opportunity to talk about, strengthening our food system. That's a key priority. About how we have that entrepreneurial spirit in Alaska, and I think a farming lifestyle is very attractive to Alaskans, and these are the kind of reasons that someone might choose to do that if they think there's a real business opportunity and I could raise my family.
Yeah.
And so, you know, kind of thinking about that, thinking about the next generation of farmers, and thinking about just healthier foods.
Right.
You know, we know some of our fresher products and, you know, for different reasons have higher health benefits. But, you know, just the fact that food is flown from such far distances and, you know, all of the energy expended there, you know, just doing it more local is where it's at.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I want to remind folks that we are talking to Representative Garen Tarr this morning on Ag Matters. And you probably won't believe this, Garen, but we're over halfway through our time already. It goes by very, very fast. So that House Bill 46, the ag procurement side. Now, you mentioned that that raw milk is a piece of that. And do you want to touch on that a little bit, like your plan with the raw milk side of it?
Sure. One of the areas of our ag industry where, you know, we don't have a lot of activity is in the dairy industry.
Right.
And
yeah.
And I've tried to ask farmers, you know, what can I do to help strengthen our industry? You know, what kind of policy alternatives? And some of it right now as the priorities are, you know, making sure cooperative extension is funded, making sure the folks up in Fairbanks at the university, the farm there, that make sure that's funded, make sure the important programs through Division of Ag, you know, are there. And so I'm very committed to those things. We've been reviewing the department's budget, and we're going to, you know, stay strong and do everything we can for them. Another idea that came up was about raw milk sales.
Yeah.
And some folks say, you know, the shares opportunity right now is complicated, and, you know, the coordination required to sort of administer that is difficult. And if they had a more of a retail opportunity, that could be helpful. And so the idea here, and it's been talked about before, about 10 years ago was the last time, would be to allow direct producer to consumer purchasing that would have to be appropriately labeled that it's raw milk.
Yeah.
Not going into grocery stores, but just opening up that so you can sell in different quantities and have a little more flexibility with how to sell the product that you have.
Right. Because right now with the cottage foods bill, dairy is specifically exempt, right? So folks can sell direct to their consumers lots of new products,
mm-hmm.
but they specifically exempted dairy from that, right? So I can't sell my milk at the farmer's market, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And this could be controversial, you know,
sure,
and people say, okay, well, what,
story, right?
what about, you know, health concerns? Well, if someone can buy raw milk and still essentially pasteurize it themselves at home.
Sure.
Okay,
yep.
So let's say we take that piece of it away from it. But what you've also done is you've supported an Alaskan business. You know, you've helped strengthen our food system because we're getting more people producing food products in our state. And you've kept dollars in our economy.
Right.
And I think there's reasons to consider all of those things, you know, as the sum total of what you might accomplish here. And I was showing Amy a picture last night in Fred Meyer, and I'd encourage anyone when they're out shopping next to take a look. You know, they're selling raw milk cheeses. Right there at Fred Meyer. Well, you know, a major retailer like that does not sell a product, produce a product, and it's on their own brand, their Kroger brand, if there's not a market for it. And so I look at that and I think, well, every Alaskan that comes in and buys this product is, you know, supporting a business outside.
Yeah.
You know, and those are dollars leaving our state. And, you know, could we provide that same opportunity here? And again, I think, you know, you have to have the appropriate labeling and
sure.
inform consumer choice.
Yeah,
but for some of the people who have been sort of, you know, questioning the safety or questioning the need for the bill, you know, there have been another group of people getting in touch and singing the praises of raw milk, having grown up with it or having a family member with specific health issues that seem to have been resolved or, you know, that they were healthier, felt better, you know, because they had the raw milk. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it'll be a very interesting conversation, and I'm looking forward to, you know, hearing what people have to say and thinking about how do we strengthen the dairy segment of our agriculture industry. And if it's not this opportunity, because I think you could be starting small, and this would give you a better retail opportunity, and then maybe that would let you grow a little bit at a time and sort of grow into a bigger business and be more successful, and then maybe we could, you know, have more cheeses again and you know, ice cream and everything that
cheese
was so great.
Cheese is my favorite food. And my favorite food group. I remember it hasn't been, I don't think it was a full 10 years ago, but sometime in more than 5 years ago, not quite 10 years ago, we had a raw milk Grade A dairy in Wasilla. I don't know if you remember that gentleman. I can't remember his name, but he ended up leaving the state because it was so difficult to try and, you know, market his product through the regulations. That, and now he's a very successful milk and cheese producer, raw milk and raw cheese producer in, I think it's New York State.
Mm-hmm.
He went somewhere where it was easier. And, you know, there's more to the story, of course, but I remember him specifically saying, I just can't make it work here because, there's so much paperwork and red tape. So what are you hearing? Are you hearing from other members of the legislature about, you know, from their constituents, particularly about the raw milk thing? Has there been any discussion about it yet? Or
not really. I have been contacted by a couple other legislators interested in the topic and okay. Wanting to learn more, and I find that encouraging. And we're hoping in the Resources Committee to set aside some time in March to hear several agriculture-related
right.
pieces of legislation and just, you know, have a good, thorough conversation. I always joke that the Department of Natural Resources, of course, has oil and gas, mining, timber, and agriculture in it. And, of course, oil and gas gets the bulk of attention and interest. And then you've got mining and then timber, and ag seems to have been left behind, and maybe just because I'm so passionate. But I'm excited that we have a whole committee of people who seem really, really interested in having some conversations and recognize the economic opportunity here, and that you know, if we can keep some of these dollars in our state, that's really good.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, I think it's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, very good. And so I remember when I first saw the bill, I was a little bit confused the procurement, obviously, I'm a huge advocate for. I followed that for a number of years very closely. And so I'm thrilled that that's in there. And then I saw the raw milk language and I thought, this is kind of strange. Why are these two things in together? Is this strategy? So are they going to stay together? Is it going to stay one bill the way that it is?
Well, we're going to talk about that
okay.
because there are a couple different issues that we could address
yeah.
and maybe would be more appropriate in separate pieces of legislation. I do want to really work through the ag procurement.
Yeah.
And if that means that we need to have a longer conversation about the raw milk piece of it,
yeah.
then maybe that's the right way to go.
Yeah.
I really am hoping to have an opportunity to hear from farmers
right.
and really give them the voice. And let them kind of lead this conversation and help us figure out the best way. But it's really what I want to do is you know, help create those economic opportunities for them
yeah.
and, you know, figure out where the barriers are and do things that are going to be the Alaska,
yeah.
you know, the Alaska solution.
Yeah. So I want to jump on that really quick. So if people have opinions about either side of this, ag procurement increasing the preference from 7% to 15%, or the raw milk side of the equation, how should they get in touch with you? Is it a direct email? Do you have a staff member particularly that you want to point people to? But how can they let you know their opinions on this?
That is a great suggestion, and I would love to hear from folks. You can call 465-3424. That's 465-3424. Or an email is just like the legislative emails. It's rep.garen@akledge.gov.
Okay.
So that's akleg.gov. And otherwise on Facebook, I try to watch some of the food groups, food and farm groups, and there have been some comments there about this legislation that I've really appreciated seeing. So.
I was going to ask you that. You never know. As a rookie person getting involved with legislature, you're like, what's better? What counts more? Do they really answer the phone? Do they really look at their email? Or do they even have time for Facebook? So what I'm hearing you say is you try to monitor all of it, but probably a phone call or an email is the best way to make sure that you see it, right?
Yeah, and what we want to do when you get in touch is get you, you know, as part of our contacts about this legislation so we can keep you in the loop whenever anything's happening and make sure you know that you have an opportunity to testify or get in touch with your own legislator and make sure we answer questions.
That was going to be my next question. If a person doesn't live in your district but they have an opinion on this, is it better that they call you or that they call their own representative or senator? What's your strategy there, or both?
They could call both. I'd really appreciate hearing from them because there's a process here. And, right, you
yeah.
never start out with a piece of legislation thinking this is the perfect piece of
sure.
legislation, because everybody brings different perspectives. And one of the things that makes this job really fun is the diversity of life experiences and perspectives and the vast differences among our big state.
Right.
And so, you know, as we think about these different policy alternatives, it's, you know, you kind of get the stories from around the state and figure out, okay, well, maybe that's not going to work in that place in this way. And so I think, you know, the process is important, and that's where everybody has a voice. And right now we're just in that process phase. And so I would love if they would call me so we could figure out how to make a really good bill.
Yeah.
And then if it gets towards the end and it's where
looking
there's a vote,
support, yeah.
You know, then if they don't support it, absolutely, they should let their own legislator know, or if they do, and I hope they will, support it, they should let their own legislator know that they'd ask for their support too.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. How are we doing on time here? Oh my gosh, we are almost done. So we had a list of other things that we might talk about today, but real briefly, I want to mention that tomorrow evening there's a big event at the governor's house, right? He always calls it the people's house. I've been there a couple times, and he never likes to refer to it as the governor's mansion. So at the people's house tomorrow night, what is happening? You're aware of this, right?
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that, you know, we'll get a little press coverage there so everyone will know about this and what took place. They're hosting an all Alaska grown dinner.
They are.
Having a pig flown down, and, you know, it's from the Matsu flown down. They're going to be roasting it all day to make pulled pork, I think sandwiches,
yeah.
You know, other cured meats,
yep.
And other vegetables. And
yeah, I loaded 120 pounds of Matsu vegetables the other day. We've got parsnips coming and cabbage from Rempel Family Farm. They're going to make parsnip hummus and cabbage coleslaw. And then we had red and yellow potatoes from Vanderweil Farms to make two different kinds of potato salad. And carrots, of course, from Vanderweil's. The pig, I think, is from the Fairbanks Delta Junction area. I'm going to pick up some Anchorage Distillery spirits today. What else is there going to be? I think
there's going to be ice cream, but that's local, I think, to Juneau,
oh, yeah.
Right? And
some
they do
brownies.
The Alaska flavors.
Yeah, brownies from Alaska Flower Company. And the roll that the pulled pork sandwich is going to be on is from a mix of barley flour and Alaska-grown wheat flour, I think. So I'm so excited that the governor makes this effort and wants to showcase Alaska-grown. I really think it makes a difference.
Absolutely. And it takes all of us working together. And he's, you know, the lead of the team right now.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting to see how passionate he is. And you know, he's mentioned it in important speeches as
he
a
does,
great economic
yeah.
opportunity. So it's great to have that support and that exposure. And we're hoping that everyone will attend. Last year was really fun, and, you know, we all got a bag of take-home Alaska-grown
oh, yeah.
products.
Great bags again this year.
So
I want to give props to the Farm Bureau for that. Amy Seitz and Bryce Wrigley at the Alaska Farm Bureau, they've kind of been leading the charge in gathering products from all across the state. So we're really excited that they're involved. And Bernie Carl from Chena, he's actually flying all the product down. Actually, they're about to land, I think. I think everyone's supposed to be at the airport at 8 o'clock to help unload the plane. So anyways, Garen, our time is up. So thank you so much for being my guest this morning on Ag Matters. I hope it was fun for you, and I hope listeners learned a little bit and feel like they can reach out to you if they have questions or comments about this particular bill.
And any other ideas as well, because, like I say, my goal is to get the ideas from the farmers and learn what would be helpful and then, you know, help facilitate the process to get it through.
Absolutely.
But the good ideas come from the people who know what's happening. So please get in touch.
All right. All right, Mike, I think we're done, yeah?
I think we are. This has been a fascinating discussion. The two of you are obviously well-versed. I can't let the moment go by, though. I have a quick question for Garen Tarr.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
As a botanist with that perspective, what is your opinion of Matt Damon's portrayal of the botanist in The Martian? Both.
I would put that on the list of unfair questions, Mike. But go ahead.
Well, under the circumstances, I think he did amazingly well, didn't he? It was fairly magical. I'm not sure if that could really be pulled off.
I was just thinking, I've known a few botanists, but I think just his portrayal in that movie raised the profile of botanists quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, well, you know what I loved about it? It showed how raising food and knowing how to grow food is a true survival skill.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, you know, you're not going to get very far without food or water. So if you know how to do it or what you can pick out of the woods, you're going to be a lot better off. So you know what, Mike? If that ever happens, you want to be stuck with me because then I'll be able to know how to raise the food.
I'm writing that down. Thank you both. Have a good day. Stay dry.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.